So how do we respond to a horrific tragedy like the shooting in the church yesterday?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It was the heaviest moment that I have dealt with as governor of the state of Texas, speaking to those victims' families and trying to summon what was needed to be said to try to warm their hearts and to connect with them. But also, I got to tell you, to see their resilience and their resolve and their determination to continue to connect with God and their unwavering faith.
That was the voice of Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. Obviously, an extraordinarily difficult task to meet with the families of the victims, the bereaved, the wounded. Devastating news that came yesterday with the church massacre in Texas. And yet in the midst of it, friends, faith and hope in the midst of horror and tragedy. This is Michael Brown, and thanks so much for joining us on today's broadcast. You know, immediately after the news came of the shooting, people began to politicize this, and people began to launch their own personal attacks. There were those that wanted to blame guns. There were those that wanted to blame the Republicans. There were those that wanted to mock people of faith, a lot of good your prayer did, and things like that. And what I felt strongly was there's a time to discuss many, many issues. There's a time to discuss guns or security in church. There's a time to discuss different political views and how those impact things. But right now, at a time like this, it was a time to mourn. It was a time to grieve. It was a time to carry the pain of those who suffered devastating losses. I mean, think, one man, one brother in the Lord, right? He lost his pregnant wife and the baby she was carrying. He lost his three children. Two of his other children are in critical condition, and he lost his parents. There's something I'll share with you later from the grandparents that's overwhelming, a statement of faith and confidence. But what happened to this little town, a town of just a few hundred people, and the suffering and what they went through, and it's unimaginable. You're talking about little children screaming and crying and hiding under pews and a gunman just shooting them down in cold blood. And yet, God has not abandoned his people. And yet, there is a reason for hope and faith and confidence. What I want to do on today's broadcast is do my best to give you a biblical perspective on suffering and pain, to talk about what we do know about the shooting. But since the world, the secular world, and everyone is just talking about what we do know, let's bring a spiritual perspective in all of this. And let me say that despite all the mockers and, well, why pray and what good does it do and where was your God, despite all the mockers, it is people of faith who will come through horrific, mind-boggling, unimaginable tragedy like this. People of faith who really know the Lord, to whom Jesus is real, they're the ones that will come through horrific tragedy like this far, far better than those who don't know the Lord. Because humanly speaking, this is not the kind of thing you can just get through and move on from. Humanly speaking, there is no recovery from devastation like this. But with the Lord, there is hope in this world, and there is hope in the world to come. We come back, we'll talk about what we know, what we don't know, and do our best to make sense out of all this as children of God, knowing how deeply our Father grieves right now with those who are suffering and in pain and in agony. We'll be right back.
fire, we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's talk about what we know. A little later in the broadcast, we will discuss the issue of guns. It's appropriate to discuss it, but let me just say this at the outset. I don't want that to take away our focus from the suffering of those affected by this tragedy and our response as followers of Jesus to this tragedy on a faith level. I don't want to distract from that or detract from that. Immediately when I got home last night, I was traveling back from Florida. I sat down and recorded a video. It's posted on my Facebook page. I recorded a video on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page. And in that video, I talked about this is a time to mourn and where our hearts should be. And then I felt to write an article to expand on this called The Time to Mourn. And a few times sitting there, I just broke down crying. I mean, the thought of the pastor reporting, the pastor and his wife just away that day, their 14-year-old daughter among those killed, children as young as two, now they're saying as young as 18 months among those killed, up to people 72 years old. And again, in a local Baptist church as people are worshiping the Lord, and the kids there just coming out of Sunday school classes, I understand it. So if you haven't read these, if you haven't watched the video, please take a few minutes. It seems that this is resonating with many hearts, and many are finding a place of identification in this. Go to AskDrBrown.org, read my article, A Time to Mourn. Go to the Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. Watch that short video. It's something you can also share with others. Yes, we're getting into much more depth here, but it's something you can share with others. So what do we know factually? Well, we know that the shooter was a white male. It's unclear about current marital status, but what seems clear is that he had in-laws who were part of this church. It's also being reported that he was a militant atheist. This is being reported on different sites and secular newspapers and things like that, that the shooter was a militant atheist. Now, there's another post where he talks about teaching at a vacation Bible school a few years ago, but he seems to be a God mocker and seems to be one who was saying that if you believe in God, you're stupid. Did this fuel more of his fire? We also know he was court-martialed. He was in the military. Court-martialed for assaulting his wife and child. And then I've read different things about he was refused a permit for a gun because of that, but that elsewhere he passed the background check to get weapons that he had. So that remains a little bit unclear to me, as does his marital status. But there are also reports of him being on medication for years and as being one of those kids that was weird or different and always medicated, and other reports about a bad relationship with his parents. President Trump over in Japan for a major tour of Asia weighed in because, of course, the question of guns comes up. It comes up in America. It comes up in other countries. President Trump weighed in and discussed his perspective, including the issue of mental health. This is what President Trump had to say.
We have a lot of mental health problems in our country, as do other countries. But this isn't a guns situation. I mean, we could go into it, but it's a little bit soon to go into it. But fortunately, somebody else had a gun that was shooting in the opposite direction. Otherwise, it would have been as bad as it was. It would have been much worse. But this is a mental health problem at the highest level. It's a very, very sad event. These are great people and a very, very sad event. But that's the way I view it.
Again, I felt it was important, especially last night in the immediate aftermath of this tragedy, that we not get caught up in angry responses to those who post it irresponsibly. And that remains my position. Yes, others are responding. Yes, people should be ashamed of things they tweeted out and sent out. But when I'm getting those inflammatory things sent to me by God mockers and others on my Twitter account and elsewhere, I'm just blocking them. And I've been attacked, interestingly enough, from people on both sides of the gun debate. Yeah, part and parcel of what normally happens. I get attacked from both sides, but I'm not going to get drawn into that. I've told people now's not the time. We'll have our discussion, and I even posted a question on Twitter. I'll tell you the results of this later, but I posted a poll question asking, in the aftermath of the massacre, what do we need? Do we need stricter gun control laws? Do we need to arm church members? Do we need to do both? These are discussions that we will have and that we should have. But right now, let's look at the larger picture. Why does God allow something like this to happen? You've got his people, you've got his children, you've got worshipers. Why doesn't God stop something like this from happening? You say, well, all those that are killed go to heaven. We understand that. Yet we live in this world, and this is our period of assignment here. And if you lose a loved one and outlive them by 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, you carry that hole in you all your life. And there are now kids without parents. And there are now husbands without wives and wives without husbands. And on and on and on, grandparents without grandkids. I mean, you're talking about agonizing pain and scars in this world in which we live. Now, without eternity, the problem of suffering makes no sense. When I debated Professor Bart Ehrman at Ohio State back in 2010, and that video's on our website, just go to Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, and search in the digital library for Ehrman, E-H-R-M-A-N. But when I debated him, I did make clear that the only way to fully understand the problem of suffering was to factor in eternity. We had to do that. Without eternity, no, there are no answers in this world alone. There are some answers, but there are no answers that make ultimate sense if this world is it, because plenty of wicked people literally get away with murder, and plenty of godly people suffer in this world and don't see an answer or a reward or justice. In many ways, there is no justice in this world, but in eternity, everything will be set right. And that's not a cop-out answer. We see God at work in this world, which is why we're confident that he will be there in the world to come. It's not a blind faith, pie in the sky type of thing. It's because of the reality of God in our lives on a daily basis. And in particular, in the midst of horrific tragedy, the reality of God now is what gives us hope and confidence for the future. It's not that we don't know God at all now, but we hope in the world to come we'll find him. No, we know him, we experience him, we love him, we walk with him. We see his mercy in the midst of the pain. We see his grace in the midst of suffering. We see his hand intervening, which is why we have confidence when we don't see, and confidence when we don't feel, and confidence in the world to come and our God who will set everything right. But why does God allow things like this to happen? Well, very simply, he has not taken away our free will. If he did wanted to stop all suffering right now in the world, he would have to take away our free will. We're not talking about the question of why a child has cancer. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about why someone dies in an earthquake. We're talking about something that a person does to another person. And if in fact, and we don't know for sure, but if in fact this killer was killing because people were Christians and because he hated God and he hated Christians, then this on a certain level is also persecution for the faith. It doesn't mean that we don't have security in our churches. That's a separate issue, and we'll come back to that. But this much we know. God has not stopped evil people from doing evil. God has given us free will. And every day, evil things are done. Can I just share something with you? Every day, God watches and is fully aware of scenes just as bad as what happened yesterday. Oh, maybe not all in one place, but of abuse and torture and little children suffering, and infants being sold into sex trafficking, and every type of horrific thing, and people being locked up and tortured, and all types of brutality. God sees it happening 24/7, and he does not stop it all. To stop it all would mean Jesus returning, and that's the end of the age. So God has given us free will. Yes, ultimately, he will bring life out of the pain and death and suffering. Ultimately, he will bring something far more beautiful than we could ever imagine, forever and ever and ever. That's a fact. He will do that. But right now, he's bringing beauty out of ashes in the midst of much pain. And right now, human beings are storing up all kinds of judgment against themselves on the day when we will all give account. In this world, and then ultimately in eternity, God will bring answers to every question and will wipe away every tear. In this world, we'll still have questions and we'll still have tears, but we'll have God with us right in our midst. We'll be back. We'll take some calls as well.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. And I encourage you to be praying for our nation right now. I mean, look, this is just how many weeks from the Las Vegas shooting? And what, 6 days from the car attack in New York City? I mean, we're reeling. And then how many died in forest fires and how many millions impacted by hurricanes? This is a time for us to cry out to God. We don't have to know why everything is happening. We don't have to sort out all the details. We just have to recognize something is terribly wrong and America needs God. Look, I wrote the book Saving a Sick America. I'd be the first to say how sick we are. Our hope, our answer is in the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, but let me just discuss first the issue of mental health. If, in fact, this shooter, like a number of other shooters in recent years, was medicated, was someone that was prescribed medication for various mental health issues, if that's accurate, it doesn't mean that he is not guilty. What I mean is this. It could be that he's guilty of sin, anger, that he's guilty of hatred towards his in-laws or hatred towards that church. It could be that this was an interpersonal thing with him and now he's going to take out his rage against the church. And if true, that he was a militant atheist, he's now going to take out his rage against God. You know, there are many atheists, you could characterize their position by saying there is no God and I hate him. Now, if you're an atheist listening and saying that's not me, I'm not saying that's every atheist. I'm saying that's certainly some. And maybe that was this man. Maybe because of drug issues, mental health issues, he was imbalanced enough to have no compassion or sympathy. He was imbalanced enough to think that the way you deal with a family conflict or a religious conflict is you go slaughter people, including babies and children. It doesn't mean that he was not responsible, and that's what courts would ultimately decide. Courts would ultimately say, as far as they can, this person is competent. In other words, they recognize the difference between right and wrong. But in the midst of this, Billy Howell has an article that he sent over to us, and it is on his Faith Wire on that website. They lost a child, grandchild, and great-grandchildren during the Texas church massacre. Here's their powerful response. So Joe and Clarice Holcomb lost 9 family members. I mean, you're talking about a little church building where almost everybody, virtually everybody in the building, virtually everybody was either wounded or killed. And basically the congregation wiped out. That they lost 9 family members. But despite the unimaginable carnage, the couple are remaining firm and resolute in their Christian faith. So they lost, elderly couple, they lost their son, Brian, his wife, Carla, in addition to their grandson, Mark Daniel Holcomb, as well as his baby daughter and their great-granddaughter, Noah. They also lost Krista Holcomb, the wife of their grandson, John Holcomb, 3 of their great-grandchildren, Emily, Megan, and Greg, and the unborn baby Crystal was carrying. John Holcomb and two additional children survived. I mean, the children in critical condition, last I read. Another family, one boy, 5 years old, shot four times. I mean, it's just unimaginable. Despite that immensely painful situation, Billy notes, Joe Holcomb, 86, told Faith Wire that he and his wife are, quote, very close to God and have not wavered in their faith as a result of Sunday's traumatic events. We're strong. We'll be with Brian and his wife and the whole family one of these days, and we look forward to that. When he was asked what he'd say to the family of the suspected shooter, he said he didn't know, though he offered up what can only be summarized as a stunning amount of forgiveness. I don't hold any resentment to him. I wish he hadn't done any of it, but all I can say is that he's going to be rewarded for what he did. He's not going to like that reward. I don't hate him by any means. I just feel sorry for him. Friends, not many people could say that unless they have that extraordinary connection to the one who forgave them of all their sins through the cross. Let me grab a call. Ben in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Ben, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Sure thing.
I just want to say I don't think as Christians we need to change our approach. When things like this happen, we've got to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ more boldly.
Yeah.
And, I see this as the appropriate response. And
in other words, the world is really messed up. We really need God. This is not when we back away from preaching, but when we step up our preaching.
Exactly, sir. I mean, this is the only thing that has the power to save. And, Michael, with your permission, I'd like to go ahead and proclaim that. Could I proclaim the gospel quickly?
Go ahead.
The gospel announces the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, during the height of the Roman Empire, God sent his son into human history in order to save people of every nation from their sins and their misery. Christ was conceived by the Spirit of God in the womb of a virgin, and he was born Jesus of Nazareth, the God-man, fully God, fully man. Jesus came to bear the sins of fallen men and women and to offer his life as a sacrifice in our place. His death fully satisfied the demands of God's justice against sinners, like this sinner, and made it possible for a just God to pardon him. His resurrection 3 days later testified that he is the Son of God and that God accepted his death as a full payment for our sin. Now all people may be fully forgiven, reconciled to God, and receive eternal life through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Through this work of salvation, God has revealed to the world who he is, and it's up to us to respond.
Yeah, friends,
the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Friends, if you're listening right now and you don't know Jesus, if you don't know that your own sins and wrongdoings are forgiven, if that guilt has not been removed and you're not in right relationship with God, I proclaim to you that gospel. Thank you, Ben, for calling and for doing that. Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. Without him, you're guilty and lost. Without him, no matter how well you do in this world, you're in wrong standing with God and you'll suffer for it forever. But there's mercy and grace and forgiveness. Someone who was perfect died for all the ugly things you and I did. And the same way he forgave me in 1971 and set me free from drugs and gave me a brand new life, he can forgive you. If you need to be saved, if you need forgiveness, if you need to get right with God, just shoot a note to us at AskDrBrown.org where it says contact. Shoot us a note. We'd love to pray with you and help you find God. That's AskDrBrown.org. Again, Ben, thank you for calling. Hey, friends, just a reminder, we have many new videos up. Many new articles up. We posted a video, Has Christianity Replaced Judaism? Has Christianity replaced Judaism? Is that even a right and fair question? Is the question even worded properly? It's an interesting question. It's one that's very important to understand as we talk about Jewish roots of the faith. All those are there waiting for you at AskDrBrown.org, including, again, the recent article, A Time to Mourn. Very relevant today. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It was 1 week ago, Sunday. So 8 days ago now, but exactly 1 week before the horrific church massacre in Sutherland Springs, Texas, that Pastor Frank Pomeroy preached a message. I'm looking at a website that gives the gist of the message that he preached, and he quoted from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And his message was titled, "You Don't Need Training Wheels, You Need Christ." And he quoted from Proverbs 3, 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." So based on Proverbs 3, according to the article, he cited Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and said, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs, you're going to have curves, you're going to have speed, you're going to have slow, encouraging his people to trust God through it all. Equilibrium in life is not the goal. When the bends and the turns come, remember, God said, I have prepared a place for you, made with hands, not of this world, so where you go, you may be all, where I go, you may be also. My goal is trusting in Jesus and getting to the heavenly home one day. Little did he know that as he and his wife were away yesterday, that most of his congregation would suffer something utterly unimaginable. Little did he know that almost half of his congregation would be welcomed into their heavenly homes. Little did he know that his 14-year-old daughter, he and his wife, their 14-year-old daughter, would be slaughtered in cold blood. Little did they know that all their best friends would be wiped out in a moment of time. But friends, here's what I want you to understand that is so, so important. Faith is not an escape route so that we never have hard times. Faith is not a magic button that we push because of which we never have difficulty. Rather, in this world, everybody has difficulty. In this world, everybody has problems. John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Paul said in Acts 14 that you must enter the kingdom of God through many hardships. And sometimes Christians have more hardships, more struggles, more challenges than anyone because we're going against the grain of this world, because we are being attacked and persecuted for our faith. And we don't know for sure, but it could be that the demented murderer yesterday specifically attacked the people, not just because of an issue with his in-laws who were reportedly part of the church, but because of his reported hatred of God or militant atheism. We don't know all of those things for sure. But faith is not something blind where you just, okay, I'm going to believe no matter what. Faith is a certain confidence. Faith is an absolute leaning on God because we know him to be real. When David went to challenge Goliath, he said, the Lord already helped me take down the lion and the bear. I can take down this Philistine giant. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, I know the one I believed. I know him. He's delivered me time and again in this world. And when it's time that my head's chopped off for the faith, I will go straight to be with Jesus, which is far better. This is not some mindless thing because we're weak people and we need a crutch. This now is when people go through unspeakable hell and come out strong, because this is not some crutch we're leaning on. This is the real God who's helping us to endure through unspeakable pain. And somehow, out of all of it, will bring about good. Although right now we mourn and grieve with our suffering brothers and sisters and friends in Sutherland Springs, Texas. We come back. Yep. We'll talk about guns.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. That is the number to call. All right, so in the immediate aftermath of the tragedy yesterday, I made clear in a video that we put up on our Facebook page, on the S. Dr. Brown Facebook page, and then in an article that I wrote literally with tears, breaking down as I wrote it. I think you'll feel that as you read it, A Time to Mourn, which is posted in many sites today, and you can read on our AskDrBrown.org website. I said, let us not be distracted right now by a debate about guns. Let us not be distracted responding to the God mockers. Oh, a lot of good your prayer does you. People shot in the church service. Where's your God? We're not going to get caught up in that while there's a time to grieve and mourn for those suffering. And yes, to ask God to have mercy on our nation, to ask God to have mercy on our sinful nation, on our hurting nation, on our divided nation, on our self-destructive nation, beginning with God having mercy on us in the church and awakening us. But having said all that, it is appropriate to discuss the question of guns. Now, can I say something that hopefully everyone will understand? When I see people advocating for gun control who are flipping out over another mass shooting in America, and they're angry and they're upset, I believe it's because they're upset that people were killed. I believe it's because they're upset that children, toddlers, were killed in cold blood, and the young and the old wiped out in cold blood, that they're upset about that. And that's why they are saying something. At the same time, I believe those who are passionate for a right to bear arms, who are saying, look, we should have just been armed, and if you had someone, you know, carrying and concealing, there are a couple of people properly trained, perhaps this could have been shut down. Someone said if this happened in Israel, you couldn't last more than a minute or two before the person would be shot down because you'd have a soldier there. You'd have somebody with a gun that's just life in Israel. Why are they saying it? Because they're upset with the bloodshed. So rather than politically dividing right now, let's both agree that we're terribly upset with the loss of life, the unimaginable loss of life. And I'm going to come back in a moment. I'm going to end the broadcast talking about faith, talking about eternity, talking about what about promises like Psalm 91 that would indicate we'll be protected and delivered from suffering. We'll come back to all of that, all right? But here's what I want to ask right now. Is it right and appropriate to say the real issue is we should be able to protect ourselves and therefore have access to guns? Or do guns continue to be the problem? My friend and esteemed colleague James Robison put out a video last night, and it's getting a lot of play. He put it on his Facebook page, and it's gone viral. I'm looking at it now, over about 150,000 views. And it's gospel at the beginning and gospel at the end. It's gospel, 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 and Jesus being our only hope, and we need to come together right now at a time like this. In the midst of it, he says something about guns. I want you to hear what he had to say. In the midst of his very clear gospel, Jesus-centered message, he says something about guns. Let's listen to James Robison.
Don't get in a big discussion about guns and the right or honest, decent, hardworking, God-loving, God-fearing, family-loving, neighbor-loving people to be able to protect their families. We saw what happened with a rented pickup truck this week. If you've got murder in your heart and destruction, you're going to try to kill someone. Frankly, I stopped and thought, what if there had been some people in that church service that had the concealed weapon right to carry and they were proficient? They could have stopped it. They could have stopped it before many were hurt. The pastor's daughter was killed, a teenager. Children were killed. Precious people were killed. Please know that we don't need a lot of fruitless discussions and wrangling about words that lead to the ruin of the hearers, as Paul warned Timothy. We need wise people to understand that we're going to have to be ready to defend freedom, to defend our faith and our families, and defend life. The enemy is attacking everything that pertains to life and godliness, an all-out assault on it. And it is time for God's people to stand up and say, enough is enough.
All right, again, I want to be clear. My friend's message was a gospel message from beginning to end. In the midst of it, in the midst of pointing to Jesus, in the midst of calling for prayer, in the midst of feeling the pain of those suffering, in the midst of calling for unity, that we can help one another and not hurt one another, in the midst of that and pointing to Jesus loudly and clearly, he made this statement about guns. Now, I asked the question on Twitter. I'm looking at the poll now. The wisest thing to do after the church massacre is change gun laws, arm church members, or both. Three simple choices. I know there are infinitely more choices we can come up with, but this was the thing I wanted to focus on. So far, we've just been up a few hours, our first 330 votes. 22% said change gun laws. 55% said armed church members. 23% said both. All right, so this is something to discuss. Obviously, it's not feasible to have a law enforcement officer at every service. You've got so many religious gatherings in America. You have so many church services. You have people meeting in homes. You have large and small. I don't think it's feasible that you're going to get officers in every building. Plus, churches have limited budgets. They aren't going to be able to pay for someone else to be there. Can people be trained, responsible people to carry and conceal? Is that something wise? That's a discussion to have. But it's been pointed out that there was a neighbor who heard what was happening and came out with his rifle and apparently wounded the shooter. Apparently was able to shoot accurately enough to wound him despite the vest he was wearing. And then the man took off and then apparently ultimately shot himself. Listen to what Governor Greg Abbott had to say with reference to that.
He was perhaps surprised and shocked when a neighbor came out and did shoot him and connected with him.
The neighbor, so he was struck? So the assailant was hit?
The assailant was hit by that neighbor. We do have, at least I was told that by Texas law enforcement, before he got into the car and ran away. And it could have been the fact that it was hit by the neighbor's gunshot that caused him to drop his weapon.
All right. You can weigh in if you like. We may take a few calls. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Our focus is not going to be on guns. Let others discuss that. There are plenty of other stations discussing it, right-wing, left-wing, secular, religious. There are plenty of others. We want to focus ultimately on spiritual responses in the midst of suffering and pain. But do you believe that a situation like this points to the need for tighter gun control laws? How is it that this man who had been court-martialed for assaulting his wife and child in the past apparently was able to get guns by filling out the questionnaire, doing what he had to do, and then you check the database and he came through all right? Now, I've read two reports. I've read one that said he couldn't get a permit because of the court martial. I've read another that said he was able to get a gun, so maybe it's different settings, don't know. Don't know what happened, all right? But is this the time to be focusing on that, or do we say, look, there are over 300 million guns in America. You're not going to get rid of guns. The thing is, you need responsible gun control. Wherever you stand on this, and I've gotten hit from both sides. Amazingly, I had a guy, we actually had to block him on Facebook. I don't see most of the posts, but I happened to notice his posts were aggressive and saying I was a Christian in name only, because I wasn't willing to discuss changing gun control laws. Hang on. My whole video was to say now is not the time. When you've got the bodies of the slaughtered little children blown to bits on the floor of the building, because it's a crime scene. You have to leave it like that for a period of time as the investigators come in. So it's last night. You have the blood still fresh on the ground. Come on, let's not have the debate about guns right now. That was my point. You're a Christian in name only because you won't debate guns. actually, I got a lot of attack. I got a whole lot of attack a couple weeks ago when I wrote articles saying, how did Jesus get connected to guns? I said, I'm not debating gun control here, but how in the world did Jesus get the gospel and guns kind of go hand in hand in parts of American culture? How in the world did that happen? And I said, don't lose Luke 22 and Jesus apparently saying, go buy swords. Or did he actually mean that? That whole debate as a mandate for going out and buying guns. So I'm getting attacked from the gun control people, and I'm getting attacked from the Second Amendment people, whereas I actually even haven't said anything about it either way. But can we at least agree that our goal is to reduce bloodshed in America? Can we both agree on that? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, the bad news first. This is the second mass shooting in America now in 5 weeks. The end of my article, A Time to Mourn, I discuss this. The state of America right now. All right, that's why I wrote A Time to Mourn. The tragedy in Texas yesterday, the tragedies that we've witnessed in recent weeks and months here in America. Second mass shooting in 5 weeks. Second church shooting in 6 weeks. Remember, there was a church shooting in Tennessee September 24th. This is the second mass murder within the week. Right, in a one-week period, the car attack in New York City. And Nancy said something to me last night. She said they're taking commercial breaks. She was watching, I don't know if it was CNN or Fox. She said they're taking commercial breaks in the coverage. And I said, why is that significant? She said, because normally when it's some major, major tragedy, disaster, earth-shattering news, that they don't take commercial breaks for a while. They just keep reporting. I said, so what do you think it means? He said, I think it means we're just getting more and more used to this. Even the car attack in New York City got far less attention than you would think because we're almost getting used to the tragedies happening. And then on top of that, right, how many people died in the forest fires in California? I mean, dozens. How many millions impacted by the hurricanes? This is a time for us to get in our faces before God and say, God, have mercy on our nation. This is a time for us to really turn to him in the church and say, Lord, are we walking with you? And what can we do to know you better and make you better known to a hurting and dying world? So here is the point I want to make. It is not hypocritical. It is not denying reality. It is not spiritual foolishness. It is not putting our head in the ground to trust God all the more after a tragedy that God did not stop from happening, and he did not stop it from happening because he has not taken away our free will. And whether the murderer was mentally ill as well, whether that was a factor, whether he was just demonized, whether it was all human hatred and rage, whether it was primarily a family dispute that then became a murderous attack on others, whether he had lost the distinction between reality and fantasy, and God knows. God knows, and to whatever extent he's responsible, he will bear that guilt. But friends, faith is not just something you keep in your back pocket, and then when danger comes near, you pull it out. Hey, I don't go through hard times because I'm a believer. No, no. Faith is not some just get out of jail card. Faith is truly connecting us with the invisible God. What does it say about Moses in Hebrews 11? He endured as if seeing him who was invisible. What does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 4? That we focus our eyes not on what we see, but we don't see. For what we see is temporal. What we don't see is eternal. You say, that's just you faith people. You're just believing lies. No, No, friends. The same God who has been real to the people in that church over the years, and who answered their prayers many times over the years, and who saved them from sin and transformed many of their lives, is the same God who is helping them right now in the midst of unspeakable pain and loss, is the same God who has welcomed some of them into his heavenly kingdom after they were slaughtered. The next thing they knew, they were in the beautiful presence of the Lord. This is not a cop-out, friends. This is reality. And let me repeat something. It's because we are rightly connected with God, not just some blind faith. I'm going to believe in another power that's out there that's going to help me. And I'm going to believe in a heaven that I go to. No, we have taken hold of reality. And it's just like this. Because of the reality we've taken hold of, we can now endure where many others can't. You watch and see. You track it, friends. People say that lose a child. Some of you have buried a child. Again, I can't relate to it. I can't imagine it. I mean, I've thought about it. I've tried to, but I've never walked that out. Have to bury a child or grandchild. Some of you have done that. Some of you have lost a child to cancer or lost a grandchild in a car accident. And you love the Lord and you're strong in faith and you are not bitter, cynical, angry people. And your relationship has endured. You've made it. And then you look at others who don't know the Lord. And no matter how strong they were and tough, and some of them couldn't get through a loss like this, and it's understandable. And the family broke up. The couple divorced. The pain was too great. So faith, again, is not some placebo. And it's just this shot of nothing that we take to help us get through things by living in a fantasy world. Rather, our faith connects us with the real God, with whom and through whom we endure and overcome. You say to me, all right, what about Psalm 91? I've been thinking about this. I'll probably write more about it. What about Psalm 91? What do we do with that? What about the promise that if you abide in that secret place in the Lord, that no harm will come near you? What about that promise? Here's what I'm going to do with that promise. Number one, I'm going to seek to live it out, recognizing that very few of us do. In other words, it's a strong call. It's a call to live in that secret place. Many of us are so distracted by the things of the world and our hearts are so divided, it's hard to live there. But that's my goal. I want to live and dwell in that secret place, in that hiding place. And I want to believe every promise that's written there for myself and for my family. At the same time, I know that God is good and right and fair and perfect in his love and compassion. And therefore, when I don't see Psalm 91 realized, I don't make the mistake of the friends of Job who said, well, Job, you're some kind of sinner. God forbid that we say, oh, well, the people in the church, they didn't pray enough. God forbid you speak words like that. That's what the friends of Job did, and they got rebuked by God. On the flip side, we don't do what Job did and said, God, there's something wrong with you. So I'm going to believe for Psalm 91. I'm going to trust God for that in my own life and seek to live in that secret place and find that hiding place and take refuge there so that 1,000 fall on my side and 10,000 on the other side, but it doesn't come near me. And if it comes near me, I'm going to rejoice in God and be with him in the next breath forever and ever and ever and get answers to my questions then. And if it comes near others and I don't understand why disaster happened to them, I'm going to rejoice that they are with the Lord. And I'm going to trust that ultimately, the day we stand before God, we'll have answers to all the questions. Right now, we have what we need, a solid relationship with a wonderful Heavenly Father. May he have mercy on our nation. May he be with all those suffering and grieving in Southern Springs, Texas. Back with you tomorrow.